You know, when God first saved me, I came out of very nominal Catholicism. And as most of you know, good Catholics don't study their Bible. I was a bad Catholic, so, you know, bad Catholics all the more don't study their Bible. And I didn't know anything about the Word. I began to read. I tell you what, you guys remember the man that reached out with his hand and touched the ark when it fell off the back of the cart? Anybody remember his name? Uzzah. Anybody remember Uzzah? They had the Ark of the Covenant. One thing God told Israel was they were not to carry that on an ark, or that on a cart with oxen. And that's exactly what they were doing. The Ark of the Covenant was only supposed to be carried by hand by that family of Levites called the Kohathites. That cart hit a bump. The ark started to come off the back of the cart. Uzzah reached out his hand to keep it from falling off the cart into the mud, and God killed him on the spot. And it scared David. King David didn't all of a sudden stop in his tracks. They didn't bring that ark back to where he was going to bring it. They stuck it in, what was it, Obed-Edom's house. You guys remember that? Where the threshing floor was. I read that when I was a new Christian, and that scared me. I thought, who in the world is this God? David numbered Israel, and God killed tens of thousands of Jews because he numbered Israel. And I became more afraid. I thought, who in the world is this God? You guys remember who Nadab and Abihu were? Whose sons were they? Aaron's. They offered strange fire at the altar of God, and God consumed them with fire. I read that. The more I read in the Old Testament, I thought, this God is not like the God I always thought God was like. Because you know how most people see God? They don't see God as the one who blows fire out from the altar and consumes two guys because they made a mistake in how they offered fire. Here's a guy trying to keep the ark from going in the dirt. God kills him. You know what? You know what the assumption is? That somehow Uzzah's hand is cleaner than the dirt. But that's not true. The hand of man is defiled, the dirt not near as much. I come across to the New Testament, and I'll tell you one of the texts that scared me probably more than any that I read. It came out of Matthew 7. And I read, "Few there be that find it." Find what? Find life. I read that. And I thought, wow. I always thought there were lots of Christians. Jesus Christ himself. You guys got your Bibles? Turn there. Look at Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. I read that as a new Christian, and it scared me. Now, I was rejoicing that God had saved me and I was on the in crowd. But when I read that, it scared me because that thought never crossed my mind before, that there weren't many people who are going to heaven. Especially in this country, the idea is that lots of people are headed there. Somebody read that. Who's got it?
"Enter by the narrow gate, the gate is wide, the way is easy, that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few."
There it is. Life. Those who find it are few. I'm talking about forgiveness tonight. Let me tell you something. This may not have entered some of your minds, But as you drive down the street, look, I'll tell you this. The truth is that is, if you were to see how many people were actually forgiven in the city of San Antonio, up and down this street, and even in this room right now, if we were all made to see it, somehow all those who were truly forgiven suddenly had, you know, tongues of fire above their heads, like on the day of Pentecost or something like that, and we could all see who it was, we would all go home tonight shocked. We would all go home tonight scared. We would go home tonight with a sense of something that we just had no realization of before, that there are few that find it. And this is a fearful thing, and this ought to cause us all to be, you know what? We're talking about forgiveness. I want to look at that doctrine, the doctrine of forgiveness. And we've got people running around. We got lots of people talking about being forgiven. We got lots of people talking with that talk. But you know what the Bible tells me? There are few who really are forgiven. Only few really are forgiven. And people on the left hand, people on the right hand, they believe that their sins are forgiven. But the truth of the Bible is only few are walking around in life truly with the smile of God upon their heads. Most of them are children of wrath. Most of the people that walk around in this world, you just look around. You drive up and down the interstate. Most of those people you're going by. Most of those people, and some of you as well. The truth is, you are children of wrath. The smile of God is not upon you. The wrath of God hangs over your head right now. It's a serious matter. Folks, lost people don't realize what danger they're in. This is a fearful thing. It is of such fear. Oh, if people could just see the danger that they're in. This is not a small thing. They waltz through life just expecting and hoping that somehow when they get to the end, it's all going to turn out good. And they're walking around through life and the wrath of God hangs over their head. Forgiveness. What is it to truly have your sins put away? Do you know how the Bible talks about this? There was a young man in the neighborhood last night. My daughter had a birthday party yesterday, and a little guy from the neighborhood came around. And you know what? He boldly said, James and I were talking to him a little bit about heaven, about hell, about sin. He said, "I know where I'm going. I ain't going down there." Boldly. "I ain't going down there." As though what? You can just exert yourself and not go down there? And I said, you know what? I put my hands on his shoulders and I began to press down. And I began to press down harder and harder and harder. And I said, "Little man," I said, "your sin is like that. Every time you sin, it's like there's a pressure that's greater and greater and greater and greater." You guys ever come across these verses? Let me just shoot a few verses at you. 1 Thessalonians 2:16. If you guys have your Bibles there, check this verse out. I want to take you through three verses right now, and I want something to jump out at you. 1 Thessalonians 2:16. Now in 2:15, you realize that the Apostle Paul is speaking about Jews. The Jews. These people who profess to be the people of God. You know what they were doing? They were hindering us. Who's that? Paul and his company. Those that were preaching the truth. Those that were preaching Christ. These Jews, Paul's own countrymen, they're hindering Paul from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved. Now look at this. "So as always, to fill up the measure of their sins." Check that out. fill up the measure of their sins. It is like every person has a measure. It's like every person is a cup. And the measure of their sin is filling up. And there is a brim here, folks. There's a top. There's a level. There's a capping off. Every person has a measure of sin that they are allowed to commit in this lifetime. And when it fills up, that's it. You know what? Jonathan Edwards said it like this. Some of you know, sinners in the hands of an angry God. He made this statement: unconverted men walk over the pit of hell on a rotten covering. Let me tell you something. Lost men, lost women, which is most of the people. Remember, few there be that find it. Oh yeah, there's lots of religious people. Lots of people think they're going to heaven. Lots of people in that day say, "Lord, Lord." And He says, "I never knew you." And they're walking around on this rotten covering. And just like that little guy, I began to press on him. And I began to press on him. And what people are doing is they're walking around through life. And the measure of their sin is filling up. And let me tell you something. Sin is heavy. It is very heavy. And every sin a man commits, every sin a woman commits, every sin a child commits, it weighs heavier and heavier and heavier, and the measure of their sin is going up, and they're walking on a rotten covering. And you can't walk around and say, "Well, I'm not going there," because by your very neglect of God, by your very sin, by your very hardness, by your very idolatry, by your very disobedience and neglect of Jesus Christ, by your very despising of God, it's more weight. Every day brings greater weight, and the ground under you is rotten, and you walk. And as Edward said, there are places in that covering that will not hold you any longer. And though you may be in good health, though you may think you are secure, though you may think that everything is safe, there are areas in that covering that you walk on that will not hold you. And I'll tell you that God has a numbers of ways to take the wicked man out of this life. And just when they seem to be in the prime of health. Craig Musselman told us about it. Here's his brother-in-law, 39 years old. Middle of life. No indication of any problems. Starts throwing up. His roommate finds him gurgling in his own vomit. And he's gone. 39 years old. Gone. Some of you have seen that email that went out. Marshall's friend, Mark Aponte, visited the church numbers of times. Little girl. They found a tumor this big inside her. She's not gone. And I'll tell you what, God has a way of taking healthy people out of this world just like that. And there are rotten places in this covering. And if there is no forgiveness, that measure of sin is going up, and it's going up. And listen to this, you don't need to turn there, but in Genesis 15, 16, God tells Abraham this: "Abraham, I'm going to remove you down to Egypt, and your people are going to stay down there, and they are going to multiply, and they're not going to come back until a certain time." What time? Listen to how God says it. Genesis 15, 16. "They," the Jews, "shall come back here." Back where? To the land of Canaan. "In the fourth generation," listen to what He says, "for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." There's a time when your sin becomes complete, and that's it. God takes you out. Jesus Christ speaking to the Jews: "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You build the tombs of the prophets, you decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, 'If we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets.' Thus you witness against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets." Listen to what He says, Matthew 23:32. "Fill up then the measure of your fathers." Let me tell you something. There is a measure people, they get up in the morning, springtime Texas sun, nice rain in the night, makes for the birds chirping in the morning. You walk out, it's cool, it rained, beautiful clouds in the sky, everything's green. Seems safe. Drink the morning coffee. No idea that the measure of sin is filling up. Let me tell you something about sin. People have this idea, well, you know, if I rape somebody, yeah, I commit sin. Yeah, I guess if I tell a lie, I commit a sin. Do you know what Scripture says? The Scripture says there's none righteous, not one. The Scripture says there's none that does good. You know, people have this idea that, well, sometimes we cross the line in sin. Do you know what the Bible says? If you're lost, the Bible says you do nothing but sin. Nothing. We have this idea, well, you know, I went through the day, yeah, maybe I added one or two sins, maybe. No, what the Bible teaches is that if you're outside of Christ, all you did was add to the weight and your measure is filling up. And I'll tell you something, God's only going to let you go so far. And that's it. When that measure is filled, the rotten covering beneath your feet is going to give way. And you can purpose. The thing is, nobody purposes to go to hell. They all think to get right with God before the end. And most men make shipwreck. Few there be that find it. You mean all those many people, they just lived a life all hell bent, and they wanted to go to hell, expected to go to hell? Men don't expect to go to hell. And most go. You guys, forgiveness is such a huge thing. We talk about it so flippantly. People use that term, but it is a huge thing. Let me tell you what it's about. It's about a God of wrath. You say, what brings wrath? You know what Scripture says? You know who wrath abides upon? It says in John 3:36, those who obey not the Son. Here's the thing. Jesus Christ gave commandments all through the New Testament. You live your life just ignoring them. You just live your life, I don't care what's in the New Testament. If that's your attitude, let me tell you something. The wrath of God abides upon you right now. That's not what I think. That's not what I dreamt up. That's what Scripture says. In John 3:36, it says that if you're not obeying the Son of God, and listen, if you have no regard for His Word, you're not obeying Him. I'll tell you this, those who have regard for His Word, those who are obeying His Word, are those that are trembling at His Word. They're going to His Word. They're keeping His commandments. It says in the Scriptures, if you say you know Him and you're not keeping His commandments, you're a liar. The truth isn't in you. The wrath of God hangs over your head. All you have to do is be living a life. I don't even mean one where you just say, you're shaking your fist at God, you're just going to run off. All I'm saying is, all you have to do is say, I'm just living my life the way I want to live. I don't want anybody to tell me. I'm not going to mess with other people. I'm not going to murder other people. I'm not going to rape other people. You just deny Christ. And you deny Christ when you deny who He says He is. You deny Christ when you deny what He tells you to do. Jesus Christ said to those Jews, if you believe not that I am, you will die in your sin. If you reject Christ's divinity, you reject that He's God, you're hellbound. And I'll tell you this, you can have whatever religion. There's no religion. All the religions of this world, name them whatever you want to, they are that rotten fabric. Men don't go to hell typically with no religion. They go exactly with religion. The very rotten fabric under their feet is that religion. Men think through their morality. They think through their religion. They're going to somehow be all right. If you're not obeying the Christ of the Scriptures, you walking through life, You're just thinking, well, someday I'm going to get this thing taken care of. I tell you, you are on dangerous ground. Because the multitudes in hell never thought to be there. They were just like you. They thought and they purposed, one day I'm going to get it right. Yes, right now there's sexual sin. Yes, right now I break my covenant, my marriage covenant made with God. I can lie. I can cheat. I don't have to obey the speed laws. You say, speed laws? Those are man's laws. Jesus Christ said, you are to obey those laws. You just live your life like, I just want my way. It's not that you go through life with just a high hand. You just ignore what Christ has to say. I'm telling you, you're in trouble. And that rotten fabric under your feet is going to give way. And there is nothing to hold you from falling into the pit except one thing. Forgiveness only comes one way. There's only one way. And the beauty is this. The gospel is this. The wrath of God. Why does it come? Guys sleeping with their girlfriend. Well, God understands. He knows I love her. You know what the scripture says? It's for that very thing the wrath of God is coming. For fornication. For adultery. You go over to, what is it? 2 Thessalonians? You know who those are, who the condemnation of God is coming upon? Those who took pleasure in unrighteousness. Just size that up. Those who take pleasure in unrighteousness are falling. They're going to fall through that fabric. Take pleasure in unrighteousness. You like to sit down and just watch stuff on television or on the movies that God abhors, practices that God condemns in His Word. You laugh. You take delight. You take pleasure in that. You're walking on a rotten covering, and it's all going to come down. And you may feel safe. The bed may feel soft. The ground may feel hard. The food may taste good. The birds may chirp. The sky's nice. Life may be going on. There's money in the bank. Car runs well. But I'm telling you, you're filling up the measure of your sin, and God only lets sinners go so long. Go look at the graveyards. If you've never read before, the wages of sin is death. Those graveyards are filled, folks, because death is in this world, because sin is real, and God is executing judgment on sinners. Death was not originally created in the fabric of this universe. It came through the fall. It came through men diving headlong into sin. Forgiveness. The only folks that find life are those who are forgiven. And it's possible. It's possible to have every single... Listen to me. If there's one sin on your account, you're a dead man. You're a dead woman. The wrath of God will consume you. And there is a way to have every last sin. You come to the Bible and you know what you find? You find that amazing statements. God says He will put your sin away from you as far as the east is from the west. He says that in one place. What is that? Psalm 103? He says He will take that sin and throw it into the ocean, down into the depths. He says He will tread your iniquities under His feet. He says He will take His sin and cast them behind His back. He says also in the Scriptures, I will not remember your sins. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. There is a promise in the Scripture of washing them as white as snow. But let me tell you this. Listen to this. God exalted, Acts 5:31, God exalted Jesus Christ to His right hand as leader and Savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. John says, I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. To Him all the prophets bear witness, Acts 10:43, that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins. In Him we have redemption through His blood, Ephesians 1:7, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Let me tell you this, there's only forgiveness of sins found in the name of one. There's only one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. It is the name of Jesus Christ. There is no forgiveness in any other. Jesus Christ, when He initiated the Lord's Supper, He said, this is the blood of the new covenant. This is the blood, my blood, which is given for the forgiveness of sin. There is no forgiveness aside from the blood of Jesus Christ. There is only one way to have that forgiveness. Look, let me tell you this. In Isaiah 43:25, God says this, I am He who blots out your transgressions. Why? For my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. You read in the context right there, listen to what it says. Right before this, that was Isaiah 43:25, where He says, I will not remember your sins. But let's back up a few verses. He says this in verse 22. Yet you did not call upon me. You were weary of me. You've not brought me your sheep for burnt offerings. You've not honored me with your sacrifices. I've not burdened you with offerings or wearied you with frankincense. You've not bought me sweet cane with money or satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices. You've burdened me with your sins. You wearied me with your iniquities. And then He says this, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my name's sake, and I will not remember your sins. Listen to this. Think with me, folks. He says, I blot out your sins for my name's sake. I blot them out for my name's sake. God says He does it for His name's sake. You see, if you back up, you say, man, I don't know if He could forgive me. Maybe there's too many sins. You think you've done some bad things. Could God possibly forgive you for it? Listen to what He says. You didn't call upon me. And yet you get down there and He says, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. You know what we find here? People can come to Christ who haven't come. They haven't called. They haven't prayed. Are you a person? You look at your life, I'm not really a praying person. You know what this says? You didn't call upon me, but I'm the one who, for my name's sake, will blot out your sins and I will not remember them anymore. You're not a praying person? So be it. Come to Him. He says He'll blot them out. Remember, there's only one way. Jesus Christ is that way. God exalted Him to His right hand to give repentance and forgiveness of sins. There is no other. It is right there. We're forgiven for His name's sake. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. There is no other way. But you come to Him, even if you haven't been one who have called upon Him. He goes on to say, you have been weary of me. But He still says, I'll come and forgive your sins. Some of you look at it. You say, God is wearisome to me. I'm weary of His worship. I'm weary of His church. I don't look forward to Lord's days. I don't look forward to ever going to church. I don't really have a desire for this. Truth be known, I'd rather watch football on Sundays. I'd rather do this. I'd rather go to the malls. But if you're concerned right now and you have some concern that you are walking on that rotten covering and the fullness of your sin, the measure of it is filling up, and you're filled with fear, maybe the Spirit of God has brought some conviction. Even if you've been weary to God, even if you have not grown up there in His Word, you've had a distaste for His people, distaste for His church, a distaste for His Word, so be it. He says, come unto Him. You keep going through there. He says, you have not bought me sweet cane with money or satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifice. These people weren't thankful. They weren't willing to come and make an offering to the Lord. No thankfulness there at all. You've lived your whole life. You haven't been thankful to the Lord. You know it. You haven't thanked Him. You've been given food every day of your life. You've been given life and breath. You've been given money. You've been given homes and clothes. You don't thank the Lord. You've been given family. You've been given comforts. You've been given a bed to sleep on. You've been given electricity and water and clean clothes. And no thankfulness. He says, you know what? So be it. Come to me. I'm the one that's going to blot out your transgressions. And I'm not going to do it because you're worthwhile. I'm not going to do it because you're worthy. So don't get this idea, well, you got to clean up your life. That's not what he says. He doesn't say clean up your life. He says, I do it for my sake. You can come as the most filthy wretch. You can come as a person that's been wearied with God. Come as a person that hasn't prayed. Come as a God that hasn't been thankful. You've burdened me with your sins. You've wearied me with iniquity. You know what? If you've lived a life where you've been filling up the measure of your sin and all you've done is wearied God with your ungratefulness and your sin, constant wearied God, God doesn't look at you and say, be done with you. He says, come. I'll blot them all out. And let me tell you something. When God, for Christ's sake and for His name's sake, blots out sin, it's gone. He takes them all, even the ones tomorrow. None of this garbage. You got to go to confession. You got to go to purgatory. That's garbage. Jesus Christ paid the price so perfectly that when a sinner comes to Christ in faith, they're all gone. All of them. All the sins I may commit tomorrow or 10 years from now or 25 years from now, they are gone. The slate is clean, washed like the new fallen snow, washed whiter than the wool. That's the idea. Though you be like crimson, though you be red and all stained and filthy, he says that he will cast. How far is the east from the west? Who can measure that? But that's how far he'll put your sin away. Behind his back. Can you guys even imagine this? I mean, what does this do to your theology? I will not remember your sins. As though what? Is it possible for God to forget? And yet that's the very language that he uses. That's what he'll do to your sins if you but come to him through Christ. You know what the scripture says? Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. You know why they're blessed? Because their sin is gone. To never come back. It's gone. No confession needed. You see, Jesus Christ offered a sacrifice once for all. And those that put their trust there, it's gone. The sin is gone. But you guys keep this in mind. Few there be that find it. And I'll tell you this. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, you go out and proclaim this forgiveness. And if you go places and you go into homes and you go into villages and they won't hear you, you go shake the dust off your feet. And he said this, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than it will be for them. And I tell you this, if you have come here tonight and you visited and you've sat under this truth and you go out of here and you ignore it, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than it will be for you. People do not understand. Look, people out there in this world, for one, they do not understand how few find this. They do not understand that most people in this world are walking on that rotten fabric, that rotten foundation. The measure of their sins is filling up. They are pressing down, ready to break through. There are places all around them that will not hold them. They don't realize that. And I'll tell you something else people don't realize. They don't realize what it is to sit under the gospel and to reject it. It is going to bring such fearful condemnation that we look at Sodom and we look at Gomorrah, we think, oh wow, chief of sinners, Christ said it will be more tolerable for them in that day. When you have the gospel preached to you and you turn your back on it, it, as that sin is filling up, as the measure is pushing down, you can imagine your life as a lost man, a lost woman. You're going through life. It's coming up. It's coming up. It's coming up. And what Christ would have you to understand is you commit these sins. You don't love men like you ought. You don't love God like you ought. They're filling, they're filling, they're filling. You're not obeying Christ as you ought. You're not honoring God as you ought. You're not loving God, not loving your neighbor. It's filling. But it's almost like Jesus Christ says, then you hear the gospel and you ignore it. Boom! It goes right up massive amounts to put pressure on you. I can't tell you how often men and women, children, hear the gospel and very shortly after they reject it and it's all over. So often, men and women are allowed to hear that gospel, and shortly after, that's it. They fill up the measure. It's as though it accelerates at such a pace. After that, they ignore the gospel, and God does not abide them to stay on this earth much longer at all. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God, and it is a more fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God having rejected clear presentations of the gospel and having Christ set before you. It is a fearful thing, but folks, to run to that Christ and find the forgiveness and having every sin washed away, to find total cleansing. And though you be red like crimson and stained and foul and filthy, to find yourself washed absolutely clean. That is forgiveness. And it's offered. It's presented freely. God doesn't do it because of anything that you have to bring to Him or offer Him. He does it for His own sake. And He's given His word. You come to Him by way of His Son. He'll put it away as far as the east is from the west. And on that day, you die. You pass off into eternity. The end comes. Christ returns. Judgment is at hand. You will come to stand before Christ on judgment day. And He will look at you and He will simply say, well done, good and faithful servant. There will not be a spot, there will not be a blemish, there will not be a sin found on your record because of Christ. Because when He went to that cross, He bore the penalty for sin so sufficiently, so completely, that if you put your trust in Him, absolute forgiveness, full atonement, every sin washed away in its entirety, so that when you stand before Him on that day, you are pristine, perfection, blazing, bright, shining like the sun in the kingdom of His Father, without defect, without spot, without sin. That is man's only hope. That fabric beneath your feet will only hold you until you come to the measure, you fill up the fullness, and it will break away. Be warned. You know why few there are that find it? I'll tell you this. Scripture says, God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Repentance and forgiveness always go together. Men want forgiveness all day long. You know what repentance is? It's turning from sin. It's turning from your idols. It's turning from your wicked lifestyle to Christ. Men and women, children, will go to hell without forgiveness because this one reason: they will not give up their sin. Men want heaven if they can have it for nothing. It'll cost you everything, folks. Not that you have to purchase it, but repentance is a turning from your wicked way and a turning to God. It is a turning away from your idols and a turning to Christ in faith. And you cannot have Christ and have your sin too. You cannot hold both. Men and women, in few numbers, go into that kingdom because they are not willing to take Christ's forgiveness on Christ's terms. And Christ's terms are this: I will save you. I will save you to the uttermost. I will save you of every sin. I will give you absolute perfect forgiveness. I will cleanse you. I will wash you thoroughly. I will present you to my Father as a spotless virgin, a flawless bride. But you must come to me on my terms, and my terms are: I want it all. You must bow to my lordship. Those are my terms. You must turn your back on all your sin and all your idols in order to come to me. And if you will hold on to your sin, you cannot come. There is a cost to coming to Christ. Not that you can purchase your own salvation, but you must forsake your sin. The Bible couldn't be clearer. Some of you, you know, the Scripture says today is the day of salvation. Some of you, I fear, I have spoken the truth to men and women who did not last on this earth much longer. And the rotten fabric gave way. We had a prostitute. We had her in our home. She heard the gospel. She seemed to respond. Not long afterward, she was gone. Some of you know Heather's first husband. Same thing. Sat under the gospel. He turned his back on it. Gone. Trisha Garza's brother. Same thing. Sat under the gospel. Rejected it. Gone. Another man, a preacher, invited me to come preach. He was a false prophet, sat unto the truth, gone. This isn't a plaything. To hear the gospel is a serious matter. And if you're in here today and you're lost, and you go out of here and you reject this, let me tell you, the measure of your sin astronomically filled up. the weight you're putting on the rotten foundations just drastically increased. The ground under your feet may feel real strong. Oh, how many have thought so? And suddenly they're gone. Be warned, folks. Flee to Christ now. Don't think you've got tomorrow. Every sinner in hell thought they had tomorrow. May God give you ears to hear. Father, please give us ears to hear. Please help us. Please, Lord, while there is time, may some see the hope in Christ. May you bring them to long for that forgiveness. May they run with all speed to cry out to you even now. May they lay hold upon you. May they come to you and find life and find peace and find rest for their souls. Find that forgiveness. Find their sins, their guilt, cast to the bottom of the ocean, cast behind your back, to find that you remember their sin no more. Oh Lord, bring salvation into our midst. For your, Lord, you say that you do it for your sake. Do it for your sake, Lord. Do it for your sake. Do it for your honor and your glory. Do it for the sake of your Son. Do it that He might be seen to be great. Over and over and over again. Rescue souls, Lord, so that the power of the cross would be evident. Rescue these souls, Lord, and truly bring this purifying washing. I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay.
For more media content from I'll Be Honest, visit us online at illbehonest.com.